Well, greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here this morning. Just thinking about the things that were shared here this morning already, just thought about giving opportunity to, if anyone has any blessings that they feel blessed in this morning that they want to share, it does our hearts good to hear the things that we feel grateful and feel blessed in. And so maybe before we pray, if anyone has something on their hearts that they'd like to share with us, I give you that opportunity. Amen.
He's in the hospital for 2 days, and he spends all the time in rehab. In fact, expect him to make up full recovery. So, very nice.
That's good to me.
I'm thankful this morning that I don't have to do life alone, but that I have brothers and sisters that care about me and a family, and that we know that people have my back, and so I feel blessed by that. Yeah, we think about that these days, don't we? When we have it, then we don't process it that way. Yeah. Well, maybe we can stand and we'll just pray here. Our Heavenly Father, we do stand here before you this morning with thanksgiving. We've been reminded of all the things that you do for us. And we've been reminded about being a grateful people and what that does to our hearts and lives. And Lord, we desire to acknowledge those things here this morning and just allow you to receive the honor and glory. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would be with us as we look into your word, Father, this morning. I just pray, Lord, that we would be able to receive, that we would be able to be fed by your word. I do pray, Lord, that you would give us ears that can hear and hearts that can receive. And Lord, that we would be able to lay aside the things that may hinder us from doing that. And Lord, if that is the case in any one of our lives, I pray, Lord, that you would minister to those needs and help us to see things clearly so that we could be blessed this morning, Lord. We pray for those that are not here, that are visiting other places or traveling or at home. We lift each one up to you and just pray that you would bless them, Lord, and help them to be a blessing to the people that they're around. We just want to commit this time here to you, and we just pray, Lord, that you would receive all the honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look into God's Word, and as we have looked into God's Word, something that I've been reminded and continually am reminded is that God's intent for us is that it would feed us, that it would bring life. And sometimes when we look at certain passages, we find verses that maybe trouble us, and we don't like to listen to it, and it might bring struggles in our lives. But even in that, God's Word is intended to bring life, to feed us, to encourage us. And when we're troubled by things that we read, we can be assured that God is speaking to us, and that he wants to get our attention. And maybe the reason that sometimes we find ourselves troubled is because God has presented a truth to us, but we're not willing to receive it. And so maybe we need to think about that, and that when we find ourselves in that position, that God is actually doing his job, and we're finding ourselves resisting it. And so I just, I pray that that wouldn't be the case, but let's ponder those things and God wants to minister to us. He wants to speak life into each one of our lives. It doesn't matter who we consider ourselves to be. That is his desire this morning. Just a little story that something I thought about that I'd like to share is, if I have a vehicle that is broken, and let's say it has a bad transmission in it, and I am determined to fix this thing and make it into a vehicle that is worthy to have. And everyone knows that I don't know anything about transmissions, but I'm trying to convince myself that I can deal with this. I can make this thing work. And so I present this vehicle to people around me and say, "Hey, I have this vehicle. It had a broken transmission, and I fixed it to the best of my abilities." But everybody knows that I'm not able to, that I don't know anything about transmissions more than that it has a forward and a reverse and a couple of gears in it. They're going to assume that it's not fixed. I'm assuming so. The title of my message this morning is "Just as I Am." Sometimes we like to do that to God. We know that we're broken. But we're trying to convince ourselves that we can fix ourselves. And we do everything possible to make it better. To the point that maybe at times we almost convince ourselves that we're not that bad. And then we try to present ourselves to God in this position. But he quickly points out the flaws and the things that are wrong. You turn with me to Luke chapter 18. A very common passage that we probably all read many times. But here's a parable that Jesus shared with the people here. And it says there in verse 9 that he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. And it says that they were righteous and despised others. And then he continues in verse 10, he points out two different people. And as we look at these two different people, I'd like to think about self-righteousness versus godly repentance. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So, we see here, he's trying to make himself into a good person. Verse 13, the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Something that I'd like to note as we think about this verse, and as we turn to Matthew chapter 23 and see some examples here, is that when we don't humble ourselves and allow Jesus to change us, when we don't come to that place and we find our worth in Jesus, then this is what we do. Naturally, we are trying to find worth. We're trying to convince ourselves that we're an okay person, or make ourselves into an okay person. And so we just naturally, it's our human nature that will rise up and we will try to exalt ourselves. Whether it's, you name it, when we're working with our hands, if we're a religious person, when we're in a religious setting, we need to try to make ourselves feel okay. And so we find ourselves doing what Jesus pointed out here in verse in Luke chapter 18, doing as the Pharisee was doing, as he was standing in a religious setting praying. He was looking like a godly person, but he needed to point out to himself and probably others of the things that he was doing for God, trying to find worth, trying to convince God that he was an okay person. So we else humble ourselves, we allow Jesus to change us, and we find our worth in that. We're secure in Jesus. If that's missing, then human nature will rise up to the occasion and will realize that, yes, there's broken things in my life, and we just naturally try to combat that, and we start exalting ourselves. In Matthew chapter 23, going down to verse 1, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works. For they say and do not, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their fists and enlarge the borders of their garments. Talking about their clothes. They show by the things they wear that they're a different people. And love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called men rabbi, rabbi. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. We see very similar things being pointed out here. Jesus is pointing to a people. They're trying to find their worth in their religion with the support of men. They like to be in places where they're noticed, and people look up to them as a special people. And in verse 12 here, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So again, when we go back to Luke chapter 18 and look at the parable there that Jesus shared and pointed out these two men. The one was lifting himself up, finding his worth in his own ability to lift up the things that he's doing well. And the other recognized that he was a fallen person and acknowledged those things and repented of them. And Jesus pointed out that person. And he's doing the same here in verse 12. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And we find our worth in Jesus. In Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This is the condition of a heart that I believe has deceived itself and is living as this Pharisee that is presenting himself to people and to God, and he thinks he's rich and increased with goods and has need of nothing, and knoweth not that he is actually wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. In verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Again, here we see it's talking about two different hearts, two different lives. The one has attempted to present themselves as a person that, I'll say it this way, fixing himself, making himself into a good person, and that person in verse 17 points out how the Lord sees him, wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. And the latter part there, verse 18 and 19, he clothes that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So when we come to Jesus, the way that we see Jesus showing in Luke, he presents us those things that we're ashamed of and feel naked. He clothes us, and our eyes, he anoints our eyes with eye salve so that we can see. So we can be healed. And then in verse 19, those people, as many as I love, the people that I love, I rebuke and chasten. That verse there is for each one here. It is for whoever. It is for all. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. The end of the verse there, he gives us a responsibility. As he shows us, as he rebukes as he chastens us. He now hands it over to you. And he says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. So, it's our job. It's our decision. We choose whether we want to listen, whether we want to experience verse 18 and experience healing. The shame that we have, whether that would be closed and covered and forgiven, or whether we want to live in verse 17 and be wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked, because we're hanging on to that thing, convincing myself that I'm rich and increase with goods and I don't need anything. When we take that position, then we're going to be most miserable. I'd like to turn to Acts chapter 9. And we see in this passage, Saul, and he was in this position. He was out to make a name for himself, and he was persecuting the church. And as a religious person, he was making a name for himself. And I'll just read just a part of this chapter here, just to get a picture of what was happening. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. So he went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Here we see God is speaking truth to him. Before this, Saul was, he was out, he was being a religious person, and he was out to make a name for himself. In verse 5, he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So here we see that he was asking, what am I supposed to do? And the Lord said unto him, to go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Says, Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. So we, God was calling him to come and speak to Saul. Going down to verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, has appeared unto thee. In the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. We note in verse 20 that after this time that he spent with the disciples, after he accepted Jesus and repented of his ways, that we see a changed man. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So, the beginning of chapter 9, we see Saul, a man that was trying to make a name for himself in doing, being a religious person, impressing the people of that group. And we see that God presented himself to Saul and said, hey, what are you doing? God presented himself to Saul. And we see that Saul responded. He repented. He accepted Jesus, and it changed his life. In Acts chapter 16, just another account of the Philippian jailer being converted there. Acts chapter 16, going down to verse 25, and we know that account there. Paul and Silas were in prison. They were praying and singing hymns to God. They were counting their blessings, as we heard this morning, encouraged this morning. And we see that God did a miracle for them here and opened their doors, unlocked the chains that were holding them in place. And we see that the jailer came and realized that the prison doors were open. And he realized that his life was in jeopardy, because he was committed to keeping the prison doors safe and secure. And we see that he was about to kill himself. And in verse 28, Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He realized that an amazing thing happened, and that Paul and Silas didn't try to escape with maybe probably many others, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This jailer came to a place realizing that he was a sinful man. And the response was here. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So they spoke to this jailer, Philippians jailer. He heard truth. And we see in this passage how he responded in verse 33, and he took them the same hour that night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. God spoke. Truth. Showed him. And he chose to respond. In Mark chapter 10. Let's go down to verse 17. And here we see a young man. And he came to Jesus. Verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, kneeled to him, and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." In verse 19 here, he tells him, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And in verse 20 there, he very happily informed Jesus that he's been doing these things since from his youth. He's been practicing these things. He considered himself a pretty good person. Verse 21. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He wasn't trying to pick him apart. But it says here that Jesus loved this young man. But he showed him something. He spoke truth into his heart. And said, "There's one thing that you lack. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." So Jesus spoke truth into this young man's heart and life. And we see that this man heard him. He pondered those things, and he said, "No, I can't do this." And we see that it says that he left the scene sadly. God presented truth. And they were, in this case, unwilling to receive it. In Acts chapter 2, Going down to verse 36. Here Peter was teaching the people who Jesus is. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So he taught them what they had done and who Jesus was. In verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? These people here heard the gospel presented and they realized that they were guilty. They didn't try to hide it. They didn't try to, it's like, oh, make things better. But they ask a question. What shall we do? Peter said unto them, he said to repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we, going back to verse 38. When they ask the things that they should do, it says, believe, repent, be baptized. When we look at believe, being convinced that it's truth. When we look at repent, we think of repent, we think of turning away from the things that we were doing, having a change of heart. And the commandment was given to be baptized. And by doing that, the resemblance of that is identifying with Jesus. Public commitment to Jesus. Acknowledging that Jesus forgave my sins. And the promise, when we walk through this, we believe, we repent, and we're baptized. The promise that we have here is that we will receive the Holy Spirit. And when we think about the Holy Spirit, we think of the indwelling of God's presence and power. What is that? How does that work? It is God indwelling in us that empowers us as individuals to overcome sin and to live according to God's will. To live according to God's will, to overcome sin. How easy is it for us to not believe this verse? And we want to create our own story. We want to gain some recognition. We want to be like that rich young ruler, and we want to get our life in order so that we might come to Jesus. I believe that's what that rich young man did. He came to Jesus and he's like, well, I've done all these things. And he started asking Jesus some questions. And he said, oh, I've done pretty well. And Jesus pointed out, was quickly able to point out some things in his heart that needed to be fixed. Jesus wants us to come when we're struggling. If we haven't repented, he wants us to believe and to repent and to be baptized. And he wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit and enable us to empower us as individuals to overcome sin and to live according to God's will. Outside of that, it is impossible to get to that position. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. When we try to do it our own way, we find ourselves in despair. Luke chapter 5, verse 31. Thinking about the title, Just As I Am, Jesus answered them. And he is telling us here, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. God is looking for a people to minister to, not those that have their life in order and everything looks good and we're determined to keep it that way. But he's looking for us as individuals, those of us that recognize that we have needs. And he wants us to present them to him as such. And he wants to enable us. He wants to cleanse us and empower us to live differently, to live a life that will please God. In Mark chapter 10, verse 51 and 52, this man was crying out to Jesus, and he desperately wanted Jesus' attention. And we see in this account that this man happened to be blind. So We can relate to that. If we can't see and we know there's someone in the crowd that he can change that. And so he approached Jesus and said, he was crying out to him. And Jesus said in verse 51, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "I want to see." And in verse 52 there, Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and started following Jesus. So this man saw his need. He presented it to Jesus. And Jesus healed him. That's what God wants us to do with him today in our lives. First, he wants to make us aware of our needs, and I believe that he's faithful in doing that. And as we become aware, he wants us to be, as this man was, he was desperate to change that. He wanted to see. And he knew that Jesus could heal him. I don't believe this man would have been healed if he would have just kept hiding in the crowd. It's like, "Oh, I'm blind. I'm ashamed of this. I don't want people to know that I can't see." Hope that somehow Jesus will come out of just wander over here and just quietly heal me. But we have a promise this morning that as we call out to Jesus and we tell him our needs, that tell him our heart condition, that he will heal us. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." In closing here, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So, in closing, as we ponder these passages and the message that God has given us, and if we find ourselves that we've been trying to fix ourselves and become as that young man that came to Jesus, that young man had it stuck in his head that he was going to have everything in order. And then come to Jesus, and Jesus quickly pointed out to him that it wasn't so. He wanted to be in control. He wanted to be able to pat himself on the back. It didn't work. And it's not going to work for any one of us either. So my encouragement to you this morning is that if you're finding yourself that's not working, which I pray that time will come, I invite you to try Jesus. It will change everything. I can testify this morning that God has been faithful to you. He gives us the message. He gives us opportunity. But he's not going to do it for you. He's asking. He's inviting. Listen. Invite him in. Allow him to change you. May God bless.